Welcome to the very first episode of Truth Be Told, a program that focuses on events, circumstances, and personalities that changed our lives. Today, I have a very special guest. I have Mr. D. Shivanandan. Mr. Shivanandan is one of the most celebrated and decorated officers in the Maharashtra Police Force. More than anything else, he's a great friend. Welcome.
Thank you, Sujit.
And how is that?
It's nice of you to have me here with you this morning.
Okay, so let me get you to get to the questioning straight. Join CP, Commissioner of Police Nagpur, Commissioner of Police Thane, Commissioner of Police Mumbai, Joint Director CBI, Joint Director IB, Director General of Police. You have done everything. Who do you give the credit to, sir? Of course, you're a very efficient officer given, but who else do you give the credit?
I would give credit to the Almighty, the God, and the karma, and the parents' guidance that way. Yes. Mine, I would consider as a very, very good, successful path, well traversed. Before the period which you mentioned, then also in the formative years, I was. For all the professional success, I would admit that there are lots of officers who are role models, who took personal interest and guided me and showed me the right path. So I would appreciate that they be remembered today for having taken me through the road less traveled, but the most successful.
Any names that you remember?
Plenty of names I can say. One was Mr. Sahasra Bhojane, who was my first commissioner in Pune City. Mr. S.V. Bhave, again another commissioner. Mr. Ramamurthy, S.K. Bapat, Mr. Baum, who passed away 2 days before in Nasik. And Mr. Mendonca, and so many, Mr. Satish Sahani, Julio Ribeiro. Like that, we can give so many names. I picked up all the points from them, the good ones. There have been some other negative role models also who I said I will not be like him. So that way it's a combination of the best and the bad.
Okay, can I have the guts to ask you the name of the negative?
No, that be told. No, but be positive always. I would only say that even the negative people help you in modeling your success.
Correct.
Let me acknowledge them and let me appreciate them also.
Correct. Sir, let's get to the Nexal operation that you spoke about. It was 1995 to 1998 when you were DIG in Nagpur.
Yeah.
Sir, I always know you as a strategic mind. So I'm going to ask you a very strategic question on this one. What aggravates Nexalism?
What aggravates Nexalism is the inequalities prevailing in the society, the opportunities which are not given to those downtrodden people, the Adivasis and the others who have been exploited by the landed gentry, the bureaucrats and the politicians and others. And this kind of a feeling that they have been continuously exploited for long enough time, and the government machinery which is lacking in warmth in going up to them and doing things necessary so that they could be elevated from the absolute poverty and penury they suffer from.
Are we saying that it is the society, that is us, and the government that is actually aggravating Nexalism?
Absolutely. The feeling of deprivation is definitely given by the society which is exploiting. The society means the upper class society, like the police officials, the forest officials, the revenue officials, and the landed gentry, and all of them who have been exploiting these poor people in every possible way. But I want to set the record right. Nexalism means exploiting these downtrodden people so that they can capture power without going through the ballot process. So that is Nexalism. The left-wing extremism says that we will sit and run the government without actually contesting the elections. All other things, alleviation of poverty, poverty, exploitation, Adivasis not getting jobs and not laying, roads being not laid there, all that is different. But the solution for ending this Naxalite problem would come from these symptoms which we... So give education to them, give them employment, develop those areas, bring industrialization, bring them in the mainstream, give them the basic thing is the land which is being tilled by them, the agricultural lands which they are owning, they don't have the ownership which is called patta. Patta in Andhra and Tamil Nadu and all that. Here it is called Sagbara. If that is not given to them, even though he is the owner, he doesn't get any loan or any other subsidy from the government. So he is not able to get any capital for making his agriculture a profitable one. So he always remains as a downtrodden, below poverty line person. This is the Adivasi I am talking about.
So what stops them from getting the patta or Sagbara?
The lethargy of the government, and the governments do not want to move fast and then cut the red tape and things like that. And then various other issues related to the Forest Act not being able to change, and the Revenue Code and this and all that. The end result is the Naxalism movement is thriving from 1972 to date.
So shall we then conclude that Naxalism is basically bred by the government inaction?
That is too extreme to say. The government is having a two-pronged attack. That is the developmental prong, and the other one is the use of police force. So the government is spending thousands of crores on laying the roads and bringing water, health and various other things. So we can't simply say government is breeding Naxalism.
No, government inaction.
Government inaction, 100% we can say. Government inaction so that 80-90% of the government officers are not there in that area. Okay. Like the teachers, the health workers and the various other officials don't work there. That is government inaction that way.
Correct.
Only the police goes there to become cannon fodder.
That was my next question, sir. Yeah. Sir, you don't have an administrative system in that place. Okay, you don't have support system in that place. The only people who are in the Naxal areas are the police and the security forces. Primarily, what is the government thus saying? Is the government thus saying that the only way to eradicate or to end Naxalism is by killing each and every Naxal? Is that what the government stands is currently?
Not at all. I want to set the record right. The government doesn't want to eliminate these Naxalites at all. Because truth be told, the program is truth be told. Truth be told that every Naxalite eliminated in any action, 100 other Naxalites are going to come.
Correct.
Because these are the boys who are all exploited and downtrodden, and they're available to join these forces.
Correct.
They are getting about 1200 to 1500 rupees monthly allowance or salary for working and giving their lives and leading such very difficult life there in the jungles. So it is not that killing Naxalites alone is going to remove the Naxalism problem. It is the development of the area, it is the inclusion and these draconian laws which are preventing the government subsidies and other welfare activities from reaching to those people. If those corrections are taken, definitely Naxalism would move.
Sir, there has been no development in Naxal areas. In fact, development has been slow or nothing. If that's the case, how do we intend to end Naxalism? What is the strategy and the way forward to end
Talking
Naxalism?
Talking about Maharashtra, the government of Maharashtra has done so much for that area. They're pumping money. Mr. Sharad Pawar, in his visionary zeal, had brought about the two-pronged attack, that is the development of that area and the police action. So much so that they're paying 300% more money to the Border Road Organization to lay quality roads all over Gadchiroli and Gondia and other places. So that way, money is not the problem. But the violence which the Naxalites bring about, not allowing the roads to be done. For example, the Sukma encounter, ambush which has taken place, 25 people died. That is all about related to laying the roads. And the same thing happened in Gadchiroli also. When I was DIG, Border Roads Organization, we gave full protection. But there was an incident where they burnt all the JCBs and the trucks belonging to the organization, which was laying the roads. So that way, they do not want full-fledged development in that area. They want to show the government in poor light. For example, there was a bridge built in across the Bhamragad River, and it got washed away in one of the floods. And they never allowed it to be constructed so that they can show to the Adivasis that this is the corruption and this is the poor quality of bridges which the government is capable of bringing about.
Sir, so what is the strategic action?
Strategy, in my opinion, is that we have to have a people-friendly government. All the government officers should have action-oriented approach where they are friendly to them and just waving, reading the riot act or reading the rule and regulation every time is not appropriate, and development and welfare of the people should be absolutely there everywhere.
Sir, so are we saying we don't have a people-friendly government?
That any common man would say that the government is not very friendly. You can't get anything done. Even though I have spent 40 years of my life in the government, and the kind of a image which the police and others have, you can't get anything done by just simply applying and waiting for a reply to come. It doesn't happen. Which is true in urban cities where you have to go, follow it up, meet people, possibly give bribes to those people and get things done. This is a fact. I cannot be just doing goody-goody kind of a thing for the government. But in those areas, the stark reality is that government is absent.
Without administration, without proper administration, without active administration, without a friendly government, putting security forces in front of Naxals, aren't we risking their lives?
We are. You know, there have been a Madhya Pradesh minister who said that policemen are supposed to die. They have joined the police to die, so we don't have to worry about their death. If that is the attitude of the government, what you say is right. That's what is happening in J&K. That is what is happening everywhere. You are asking all of them to do everything else, and they are asking the police not to react at all. Haven't you seen these videos going viral where CRPF men are heckled, beaten up, thrown stones, and they are asked not to react at all? It is considered by the common people and the politicians that it is lot of the police. By joining the police, you are agreeing to live your life without any compensation whatsoever.
We'll take a short break and get into our next section.